Hi, this is Joey from Two Blokes from Blighty, and before we get into the episode, we're going to hear from our new friend, Chris, at Play Comics.
Hi, Chris.
Take it away, Chris.
Have you ever been reading through a stack of comics and thought, maybe I should see what that Arkham Asylum game is all about? Or been playing Marvel vs. Capcom and felt like you were at a real disadvantage since you didn't know who half the characters were? Well, Play Comics is the show for you. I'm Chris, and each episode we take a look at video games based on comic properties and how well they stick to that source material. So whether you know the comics and want to know how all those games work, or you know the games and want to find out where all this craziness came from, go check out Play Comics at playcomics.com or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
You can kick my wife, you can steal my dog, you can burn my house, but you're not touching my clogs.
Tim, where the fuck is Kate Middleton? Two wrongs, in fact, do make a right.
And immediately you're like, what the fuck is this?
I'm all right with it. I expected Fizzy, to be honest.
Put a sample in. I'm not going to sing it.
No, just sing it.
I don't want to sing it. God damn it. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Fuck me.
And two, Slash looks very old next to a very attractive Ryan Gosling.
I know that it might sound crazy, but my favorite place on Earth is the Dim Sum Paradise, and you could have a long life baby, but you haven't lived in the Dim Sum Paradise. This is Tim from Two Blokes from Blighty. I'm joined by my usual co-host, Joey Fitz.
Hello, Tim. What the fuck was that?
It's a song I heard on TikTok the other day, and it's been in my head for about a week.
How does it go?
It's like all synthwave. You know the guy who does the You Can't Touch My Clogs song?
You're opening up a can of worms here. No, I don't know anything about You Can't Touch My Clogs.
It's like you can kick my wife, you can steal my dog, you can burn my house, but you're not touching my clogs.
I just want to know how this stupid dumb song goes.
I'll send it to you afterwards.
No, sing it to me.
I can't do it justice.
It doesn't matter, just try.
I genuinely can't.
Come on, let's put it out there to literally tens of people.
Put a sample in. I'm not going to sing it.
No, just sing it.
I don't want to sing it.
Come on, just sing it. The people will want to hear you sing.
The only part that I know the actual like lyrical rhythm to is when he goes, "It's a dim sum paradise." That's it.
Jesus, that was not worth it. Tim, let's move into your.
Sorry, I opened my phone and the Dim Sum Paradise song came on.
God's sake. Tim, let's move into your quiz question.
Yes, pub quiz question of the week. Not a jingle, that's a sound effect at best.
What we have there is a fucking jingle.
What I've learned in the last 10 seconds is I'm entirely predictable.
Well, what you have there is a fucking jingle, Tim.
It's not a jingle, it's a sound effect at best. So, pub quiz question of the week. Your question is... I've lost the fucking question. There it is. Saying the name of what dried fruit used to encourage people to smile in photos in the 1800s before the phrase cheese.
I don't know, but in my head, the word ravioli came up. That's
not a dried fruit.
Well, you're obviously cooking it wrong, Tim.
Sorry, or growing it wrong, as it seems.
I imagine it's something that needs ease in it, because it's the shape of your mouth with the word cheese.
Mm-hmm. It has what's referred to, essentially there's a bunch of shapes that our mouths can make when they're called phonemes. You'll find a lot of animators use them, so your vowels will generally have the same shape. I'm trying to think of some others, like...
Consonants are the other ones, too.
Consonants are very good, but like generally speaking, an animator will have, I don't know, 20 to 30 phonemes that's used for like the same mouth shapes over and over again, and it's just about putting them in sequence.
There you go. Don't say you don't come to Two Blokes and not learn anything.
Yeah.
Tim, how has your week been?
I've been working. It's my first full week back at work since my holiday. It's fine.
And how does that feel?
I'm tired, but I was tired when I left the holiday as well because I didn't really get a break.
I thought you were gonna say I'm tired, but I'm always tired.
I am always tired. I can't think of a time I wasn't tired.
Welcome to your 30s.
I know. It's only gonna get more energetic.
Tim, What day of the week is it?
It is a Wednesday, I think.
In that case, I might need to...
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Just when you think it's going to go on way too long, it comes and it ends. Right there. Perfect.
Yeah.
Tim, do you want your days of the week?
Absolutely. Hit me with them.
I've got two, and I realise now why that word popped into my head, because one of them is National Ravioli Day.
Ah.
So, you know, subliminal messaging in there. So we've got, this episode is going out March 20th.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, it's Ravioli Day, people. And the other one is National Proposal Day.
As in, like, proposing to a girlfriend, or, like, business proposal, or...
But it's 2024, Tim, so let's not gender people.
Sorry. Yep. A corporate proposal is
consider yourself
cancelled.
Entirely cancelled.
Sure. Yep.
And it's only Wednesday, so what are you going to do for you?
it is
a marriage proposal. Yes.
Ah. Okay. Can I combine the two?
No.
Damn.
You can't hide a ring in the ravioli.
No, I was going to put a ravioli on the ring.
What you get up to in your own time is entirely up to you.
The doctor said it was fine. I'm going to go with...
This is the strangest exam I've ever had, doctor.
Weird, you're a dentist. I'm going to go with Ravioli Day.
Mm, nice.
Yeah.
And how do you want people to celebrate it?
I want you to find... No, I want you to make your own ravioli. I want to see homemade ravioli.
Do you ever feel like we give our audience too much homework?
It's once a week. Like, it's not a lot to ask.
You've chosen to listen to this. Do you regret it, listener? Because you should. Tim.
Yeah.
We're going to jump straight into our celebrity sighting section. Jeff Goldblum.
Hi, my name is...
What?
My name is...
People always ask me how I pronounce my name, Goldblum or Goldblum. I always tell them the same thing. How dare you speak to me?
Tim, Goldblum. What's he doing?
Goldblum. What did we agree he was doing?
Just charming people.
Charming. Okay, so who's he charming? I've not been keeping up with the news. I try to come up with something topical a lot of the time, but I've not really kept up with the news this week.
This is great content.
Do you know what? He's going to charm a Discord user. I'm going to pick one.
Oh, is this the Discord user of the week?
This is the Discord user of the week.
Wow. Discord user who gets selected. You've been brought forward about 40 minutes. Congratulations.
That's a massive bump in runtime. we are going to go with Dalton.
Dalton.
Dalton. Well done, Dalton. Dalton.
Do you want me to use this as a segue instead?
Yeah, go for it.
He's charming Kate Middleton. Tim, where the fuck is Kate Middleton?
I've seen a bunch of theories about this. This is, I say I haven't kept up with the news. This is the thing that keeps popping up because I keep seeing a bunch of Pepe Sylvia memes about it. She's either dead, divorced, botched surgery, or she is genuinely just going back for like another round of surgery.
Yeah, well, I think the official story is that she's had some surgery and she's recovering.
Yeah. Right? While also doing really crap photo editing. Apparently.
But this is the problem. They released something on the royal family's own Twitter page. Sorry,
the Kensington Palace one.
The on X. Twitter, currently known as X.
Yeah.
And it was just so bad. And so, it was like it was intentionally there to fuel the flames.
Yeah. It was a photo they released on Mother's Day of Kate Middleton and her kids, but I think the kids are photoshopped in. So, like, you can see parts of their arm, like, blend in with the background, which would be fine. Normally, you could call it, like, a weird trick of the light or whatever. But then there's parts that are quite clearly airbrushed out.
Yeah, also, I saw a TikTok where someone had found the photo that they used for Kate Middleton's face.
Really?
And, yeah, and they pulled it in together. And it might just be a massive coincidence that she is pulling literally the same face, but it's from a Vogue magazine cover, and they've basically turned it slightly and adjusted the lighting in Photoshop.
Could they have not picked... So if it's the Kensington Palace Twitter, could they have not got a less public photo than the one that was presumably on the cover of Vogue?
I think that they didn't think anyone would question it. It's fucking bizarre, Tim.
It's super unusual.
Can I bring us back to last week a little bit and tell you my favourite thing as a result of this?
Go on.
I saw someone photoshopping the unknown from the Willy Wonka chocolate factory in the window.
Oh, I keep seeing the unknown pop up on my TikTok as well. But I did see someone, what was it? It was someone was talking about like a photo of a car with Kate Middleton in being photoshopped.
Yeah.
And someone was like, that photo was from like 4 years ago.
Well, no, the problem is the photo from inside the car was from 4 years ago because the bricks don't align above the car and in the car window.
Oh, that's so weird.
It's so weird.
That's weird. Where is she?
Maybe that's our question for next week.
Babe, wake up, new celebrity sighting segment.
I don't know if that's massively distasteful or if it's on brand for two blokes.
If she's dead, she can't sue. And if she's alive, no harm, no foul.
Tim, her name's Kate, not Sue.
Hey, well done.
Well done, well done. Well done. Tim, you've written here water companies.
Yeah, all right. So this is something I wrote today. On my desk right now, I'm holding it up, is my final water bill from my old property. Because as the audience know, you're I moved house 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Joey, what's the date today?
Well, we're actually recording. You said Wednesday. It's actually Friday the 15th.
Cool. What's the date on that there? Can you read it?
No.
No, okay. It says pay the total by March 7th. Guess when we got this letter?
Today?
Today. Week late. And it got me thinking about some of the incompetence of water companies, right? Right. I know, as I do. Because I was talking to a friend of mine at work about this the other week. You know Thames Water in London?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to take a guess at how much water they lose per day in litres?
I think it's probably like 200,000 litres, something insane like that.
You're going to need to go higher. I'm going to tell you now, as a percentage, it's 64% of their water lost through leaks and burst pipes and what have you.
I would rather they had it in a big reservoir and someone goes there every day and goes, I swear there was more. This looks like 36% of what we had before. And then he stood there with a hose.
But honestly, take another guess.
Oh, I don't know. A million litres.
Try 630 million litres of water a day.
Wow.
Yeah. And I can't understand how that business is staying. The people who live in London do not have a choice as to who their water supplier is.
No.
So everyone living in London who is paying their bills has to pay this one company to do one thing. And they still fuck it up that bad.
I like to think that you didn't know that until today because you're angry at water companies for sending you a late bill.
Who's and now the you're most like, incompetent?
How can I tar every water company with the same brush?
Well, I was on the phone. I paid the bill as soon as I got it, of course, because
you're an upstanding citizen.
I'm an upstanding citizen. And I was just like, look, I think it's very funny that you guys send me a bill that's about a week out of date. However, what I don't want is bad credit. So can we not do that in future, please?
Did you say you're going to make the segment on my podcast?
I said, oh, listen on March 20th or whatever this episode comes out.
20th, yeah, we said it a few
spot
times.
Spot on. Yeah, that was my little thoughts on water companies this week.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Tim, I want to talk about our TikTok.
Yeah.
TikTok has suddenly become active again.
Yeah, hackers have got in.
Yeah, hackers have got in and they're shitposting.
Yeah. It's not us, audience.
take us through the process.
Normally, Joey will just send me a video that he's conjured up from somewhere. Just with the words for TikTok attached to it. And, we've just been doing a lot of posting. I'm trying to do one a day at the minute. So I downloaded CapCut.
That CapCut is great. It's really good.
So I'm using that when to essentially build a stockpile of memes that are related to our content. So if you're on TikTok, go follow Game Club Pod if you're not already, and
get
look at our
game.club.pod.
That one, yep. And go follow us because we're posting shit posts once a day.
Yeah, that Duke Nukem one that you posted what, a few hours ago?
Yeah,
700 views.
That's pretty solid.
It's pretty solid. I did enjoy that our most viewed one is your interview with
Andrew Bowen.
Jesus, I was going to say with Johnny Cage then. I've really blurred the lines between
reality. I thought you were going to say Andrew Tate.
Tim and his advert for the Hustlers University has 920 listens.
And it's been muted.
It's been muted because of copyright.
Yeah.
Also, I really like that you look like an egg in it because you've just shaved your head.
I've just shaved my head. I said to Andrew at the beginning of that interview that I was under the weather all week, so I was like coughing and sniffling throughout the whole thing. So I'm like, I'm bunged up. I'm sat in a dressing gown and it's about 3 a.m.
Yeah, so Tim requested that TikTok remove it because it went something like this. Hello, Andrew. I would like...
Sound like an old car starting.
Yeah, that was it. Tim is a old Volkswagen.
So I saw something on the train the other day, and I wanted to get your thoughts as to if you understand the general public's games that they play. Okay. So I was sat on the train coming from Bristol, and there was a bunch of lads that came on the train at fucking Parthen Street or somewhere.
Lads.
And they were all, I'm not going to say well-dressed, but it was like, you know, high-end tracksuits, you know, design of shit.
They are all white.
And these lads, they all had like Gucci bags and like designer tracksuits and stuff. So like they clearly had money, but they stood in a circle in front of the toilet in the train, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of one of them put their head down. So all of them put their head down and one of them would kind of go around slapping the back of someone's head and then they'd have to get in the circle. After they'd walk around the circle. And after they got slapped in the back of the head, the person who did the slapping told the person who got slapped it was now their turn. They then repeated this process throughout the whole journey.
Sounds like Duck Duck Goose for insane chavs.
I watched it for about 10 minutes and was I don't get it.
You finish that in the running order. So I knew about this game because it's been in the running order. We didn't talk about it last week.
No.
It says, this is then followed by the slapper telling the slappy.
It was their turn. And then repeat.
Yeah.
About the whole journey. And then they just got off. And I was like, all right, well, I don't understand this game, but I'm glad they had fun.
You sound jealous. I'll be honest with you.
I just want to be slapped in the back of the head by a random guy in a high price tracksuit.
Yeah. Good. It sounds like a stupid game.
I didn't get it. I did not understand.
No.
I also made a purchase this weekend. This weekend just gone, I should say. I know you weren't exactly impressed with my purchase, but I got a PS5.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I've been having a blast with it.
Yes, because you got it a week ago. I give it 2 weeks and you won't play it anymore.
No, I'm enjoying it. I've got I just got done with my first playthrough of Astro's Playroom, rather, I should say. I've got Demon Souls to get through. I started on that this evening as well. Demon Souls is hard. Like, I know Dark Souls and Elden Ring and Bloodborne are hard, but Demon Souls is really hard.
Demon Souls is really hard for the first level.
Yeah.
After that, it becomes incredibly easy.
Oh, fine. Okay. There is, the first level.
There is. Because all of the Souls games, something that I think people struggle with Souls is they go, I really like Dark Souls, so I'll play Bloodborne, or I really like Bloodborne, so I'll play Sekiro. And they all play differently. They all play like completely individual games.
Mm.
Now, what you're doing by going to Demon's Souls, although it is the latest release as it's the remaster, actually Elden Ring. But it's one of the latest releases because it's the remaster. It's a remaster in a sense of they've given it a new skin. Sure. It's not any different to the original game, really, in terms of controls and combat. And it's the most rudimentary of all of the From Software games. I'm not saying it's bad, because From Software don't make bad games.
No, they just don't miss.
Have you fought any bosses yet?
I got absolutely crushed by the Vanguard demon.
I can't remember. Oh, the tutorial boss.
The tutorial boss, the one who you're supposed to die to so you can go to the Nexus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think you'll find there is maybe... I'm not going to tell you who they are because it'll spoil it, but there's, I think, two bosses in there that you'll find harder than that.
So the thing I'm finding about it, because Bloodborne, as we've mentioned time and time again, is one of my favorite games to the point I got a tattoo of it. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I really like about Bloodborne is how fast and aggressive it is.
Yes, and Demon's Souls is...
slow and methodical, which I think has its place, but it is... as mentioned on the podcast last week, I think, I have been going through Elden Ring again lately. Mm-hmm. And I'm playing a bleed build on that, which requires you to, generally speaking, be quite quick depending on the weapon you're using. So I've been playing it almost like an open world Bloodborne.
Nice.
And then I jump over to Demon's Souls, and it's like, hey, your roll is probably slower than walking. You can hit maybe two or three times. Your character already starts off over encumbered. Good luck.
The other thing about Demon's Souls is, which I'll tell you now, the healing item,
the moon grass,
infinite.
Yep,
there is no limit on your heals, so you are basically invulnerable.
Yeah, as long as you can get some space, because obviously you can't walk and heal like you can in later Souls games.
You'll be fine. You'll find the space. The enemies and bosses are as slow as you are.
Yeah. What else? Final Fantasy VII. Pain just got done with Integrate and the DLC. Started on Rebirth today. It looks good. I'm going to play through it soon.
Cool.
Yeah. But you know me, I like Final Fantasy.
Yeah, so what you've bought is a Final Fantasy machine.
I mean, I bought the PS4 for a Bloodborne machine, so...
That's true. Not? I think I have the Bloodborne, the PS4. Bloodborne machine. I got given a PlayStation 4. Very lucky to know someone who was willing to do that. But I got it for Bloodborne.
Yeah, it's a Bloodborne machine.
Yeah,
Now my PS5 will do it. But the only thing is, most of the PS4 catalog on PS5, when you put in a PS4 game, there is a patch to download because it gives some sort of enhancement to that game.
Okay,
so that's often in the case of a frame rate boost,
but not Bloodborne.
That's exactly it. So. For example, you might get a frame rate boost or a resolution boost or just something. Bloodborne gets fuck all.
They should do more blood.
More blood, more born.
Yeah, no, more blood, less born.
Ah, so it's blood.
Yeah, just blood.
Just blood.
I'm not surprised. I think Bloodborne, we've joked about it on the podcast, it's never getting released on PC.
No.
It's never getting any kind of FPS boost. It's
I could see it getting remade.
I don't think so. And I also think we're never going to see a Bloodborne 2.
I would love to see a Bloodborne 2, because of course I would. But you're right, I don't think we're ever getting a sequel. Miyazaki did comment on it in an interview the other day, saying that you'd have to ask Sony, not FromSoft.
Yeah.
And Sony aren't talking.
It's not going to happen. Let's be real.
No, but we can hope. We can hope.
We can dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tim, can we move into jokes?
Yeah, we can move into jokes.
Okay, let's move into jokes. Where's my joke jingle? Tim, where's it gone? Oh, there it is.
That's pretty funny, to be fair. That joke was weak. I misread that as that's the joke of the week.
Tim.
Yeah.
Joke of the week.
Joke of the week.
This is a section where Tim and I will tell each other jokes, and we can't laugh at each other's jokes, and the one that makes us laugh ends the section, and that joke wins joke of the week. How many jokes have you got, Tim?
10.
I have 10.
Wow.
Tim, you can go first. I went first last time.
Okay, so let's have a look here. Which one am I going to pick? Did you know? There's a lot of my jokes this week are did you know?
Okay.
Did you know that if everyone held hands around the equator, most would drown?
Good to know.
Yeah.
How do you confuse a blonde?
Go on.
Paint yourself green and throw forks at her.
I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do it. If you took Buckingham Palace, put it on its side, the police would have a lot of questions.
I worry we have gone through similar thought processes this week, Tim.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, that was it. I jumped to the Eddie Izzard bit in my head where it was like full of, like, covered in bees. And God damn it, is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Fuck me. That's pretty funny, to be fair. That joke was weak. I misread that as that's the joke of the week.
Tim, I also realised that joke is quite insensitive in today's day and age, so I will be bleeping it. Do you want? I had all of these jokes. I searched for non-jokes, anti-jokes this week. All of my jokes were like that. Would you like to hear the one that I was waiting for the very end as my Hail Mary?
Yeah, go for it, and I'll tell you mine as well.
Okay, a gorilla walks into a bar and says to the bartender, "I'll have a banana martini, please." The bartender thinks this is a little peculiar and has become aware that he's actually dreaming. He wakes up and begins to tell his wife the crazy dream he's had. She ignores him. The man cries through the rest of the night and realizes that his marriage is an absolute shambles.
Yeah, I'll do it. The one I've got is a lot shorter than that. It's, did you know that the pool on the Titanic to this day is still full of water?
That is so not funny, Tim.
No?
So cancelable.
Yeah.
For the second time this week.
it cancels out.
Yeah, that's it. You do two horrific things.
Make a right.
It's fine. Two wrongs, in fact, do make a right. Tim, the Oscars was this week.
It was this week. John Cena was in the nip.
John Cena was in the nip. Have you seen anything else of it?
I saw the winners of each category.
Did you see Ryan Gosling performing I'm Just Ken?
No.
You need to watch it. It's really good.
I saw a dog clapping.
I didn't see that. I only put this in the running order to talk about I'm Just Ken.
Ah. Anywhere else, he'd be a 10.
Yeah, he would. He begins singing and he sat behind Margot Robbie, who obviously plays Barbie in the movie.
Berbers, yeah.
And he moves up to the stage and Mark Ronson is playing the bass to it. And then he goes through and he's got all of these Kens dancing with him. And then when he does this whole bit where he's meant to be in a pool and it's shot from above and spinning, he gets put down and there's Slash playing a guitar solo over the top of I'm Just Ken. And it made me think two things. Ryan Gosling, if it was live, can actually really sing. He's got a good voice.
He's a talented dude.
And two, Slash looks very old next to a very attractive Ryan Gosling. Bit like a melted candle.
Slash has looked old for the last 300 years.
I met Slash. He looks just as old in person.
I can imagine. I can imagine. Yeah. You've seen the South Park episode, haven't you, where Slash isn't real?
No. I have, but I don't remember it.
Ah, right. Because Slash seems to be all over the place everywhere, like doing gigs all over the world at any one time, they treat him like Santa Claus. He's like, oh, I got Slash. My parents got Slash to play at my birthday party last year. And it's like, when the kids like reach about 15 or 16 or whatever, they finally tell them that Slash isn't real.
That's funny.
That's very good. Funny.
Tim, we had movie club this week.
We did have movie club. Do we want a jingle for this at some point or no?
You told me there's too many jingles. Let me just do this really quickly.
You do.
Movies.
There's your jingle, everyone.
There's your fucking jingle.
We watched Old Boy. Okay, the Korean 2003 Old Boy.
Not the 2013.
Josh Brolin, Spike Lee joint Old Boy. Have you ever watched any of the press racket stuff for Spike Lee's Old Boy?
No.
He looks so uninterested in the project. Like, if you watch any Spike Lee talking about any films that he's clearly passionate about, like Black Klansman, for example, mm-hmm. really good movie, and you could tell that, like, Spike Lee had put, like, a lot into it. And having watched the Josh Brolin Old Boy, not for this, but previously, the effort is not there, and it also shows in interviews.
Is the Josh Brolin Old Boy the same story?
Yes, but they seem to take about three times as long to tell it.
Because this isn't a short film.
No, it's like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
It's
2.5 hours, and every second is worth it.
Every second of this movie, of 2003 Old Boy, is important to the story.
Now, we should say that this is going to contain spoilers for Old Boy. If you haven't watched it, I implore you to click skip for 5 minutes and just cut to the end of where we're doing this, because you need to go into this blind. Mm. It is incredible.
So, I guess we're starting spoiler talk from now. Old Boy, I first watched this movie when I was in college. A friend of mine showed it to me as, and he described it as, one of the most accessible Korean cinema films in history.
I don't know if I'd describe it as accessible.
I would say that it is.
It's fairly fucking full on.
It is full on, but like in terms of like, you know, if you're interested in any sort of like Korean cinema, this is a really good jumping off point.
I don't know if I agree. It's very, very intense, and I haven't seen loads of Korean cinema. I'll be real with you, but I think if I wanted a little leap into the cultural Hollywood that is Korean cinema, I don't think this should be your benchmark. I think this is the creme de la creme, and I'm not gonna mince my words with it. It's one of the best films I've ever seen.
Mm.
But there's no way that all of Korean cinema can be like this.
Well, no, I mean, but like, if you look at like a lot of Korean cinema, they know how to do intense movies. Like you look at things like Parasite or Snowpiercer. You know, they're intense movies.
Snowpiercer's the train, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Also got the same director as Parasite.
I watched the American TV show.
Oh, was it any good?
No.
All right, fair enough. So we should talk about Old Boy. Old Boy is about a guy called Odeso, who at the start of the movie, and this film has got one of the greatest openings to a movie I think I've ever seen, mm-hmm. because a lot of action films will take their time in the introduction to really kind of draw you into the world and, you know, put things out and, oh, here's what the hero's doing. Like, if you look at, like, any Bond movie, the first 5 minutes is basically just establishing shots. Yeah. But this starts off with a guy who looks a lot worse for wear, holding another guy off a building and only holding him by his tie, and the guy who is off the end of the building is also holding a dog.
Yeah.
And immediately you're like, what the fuck is this?
And you'll be asking that question a lot throughout this film.
Yeah. So when we then cut back to a little bit of a flashback where Odeso is he's in custody, he's in a police station and he's drunk. He's mm-hmm. he's been a public nuisance. And his friend goes to pick him up from the police station, and he's on the way home because it's his daughter's birthday tomorrow. And he picks up some angel wings from like a street merchant, like just some ones that you just pop on like a backpack.
Mm-hmm.
And the friend is talking to the daughter on the way home, on like in a payphone, being like, hey, I'm going to get you a present tomorrow. I'm just bringing your dad home. You know, we'll be there soon. And he turns around and Odeso is gone.
And the wings are on the floor.
Wings are on the floor. And that is the last time that anyone sees Odeso for about 15 years.
It's not about, it is 15 years.
Mm.
It's, so, yeah.
We then get, after like this opening sequence, like some of the most intense performance acting I think I've ever seen in a movie. Where so if anyone likes, you know, like iconic shots of cinemas, they've probably seen the thing where there's a man trying to escape from under a door. And it looks like a prison hatch because it basically is a prison hatch.
It's a makeshift prison that he's been locked up in.
Yeah. And he's basically begging, like, he goes through a number of stages and ranges of emotions. Like, he's begging for freedom. He wants to know why he's there. He gets angry when no one's talking to him. And this is sort of the space of about a minute and a half.
Yeah,
2 minutes.
It's established that he's been in this prison for 2 months at this point.
Mm, and no one's given him anything.
No. The only things they give him are food, which is dumplings that are delivered to him from a local restaurant every day.
But he doesn't see the delivery boy. He only sees what is presumably some sort of guard.
Yeah.
And the first, I would say, 10 minutes of after this are basically just him going mad in the apartment. So he's watching TV because he doesn't have a window. He's got, like, essentially a fake window put on the wall with, like, a fake bit of scenery in there that's designed to look like the outside and also has fake lighting. Yeah. But the only form of, I guess, outlet that he's got to the world is that there is a TV in his room.
Mm-hmm.
And he comments on how it becomes your teacher, it becomes your priest, it becomes your doctor, it becomes your lover. And, like, you know, he goes through all sorts of things where he's watching these news events across Korea, like, you know, sports events, New Year's Day, that sort of thing. And he's watching the news one day in this room and he sees that his wife has been killed.
And he is the number one suspect.
Well, he disappeared as the wife was killed. And just before this is revealed, they release this gas into the room that the character recognizes, I guess, in, like, in a post monologue scenario, because he's, like, basically talking to the audience at this point, as the same gas that the Russians used on the Chechnyans.
Mm-hmm.
So it knocks him out cold. They take glasses, they take fingerprints, they take strands of hair, and they plant it at the apartment before they murder his wife.
Yeah.
To frame him for this murder. And then he starts, as he goes crazy, he starts, like, you know, seeing ants on his skin, like that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he eventually punches a mirror and tries to kill himself. And
he tries to kill himself a few times.
A number of times. But it's pretty clear that someone is watching him because they never let him die.
Yeah.
Ever. And so he decides that he is going to try and get out. I don't know how he paints, like, the figure of the man on the wall to practice taekwondo on.
I'm not sure, but he ends up shadow boxing, like, every day for years.
Mm-hmm. Like,
and getting very good at it.
Ruining his knuckles. Like, if you look at, like, points in the scene where, like, he's, like, showing the, because he draws, like, a tally chart on his hand for how many years he's been in this room. Mm-hmm. You can see his knuckles are all kinds of fucked up from just, like, punching the walls over and over again.
Yeah.
And one day he gets his food and he realizes that he's been given an extra chopstick, which sounds like a really non-significant thing, but his first thought is that some poor bastard in this building is eating their food with a single chopstick. He then realizes that he can use that chopstick to start chiseling his way out the room.
Yeah, he chips away the mortar around a brick, and he does this. I can't remember if it tells you how long he does it for. But
I think it's a couple of weeks for the brick.
It's a long time, but he eventually gets to the point where he pulls the brick out of the wall. And I love this scene because it's such a small thing, but you can feel the emotion when he puts his hand through that brick hole and it's pissing it down outside. The rain is really coming down. And he just gets this sense of relief when he can feel the rain on his skin. I just think that whole thing was really beautifully shot.
Mm-hmm. So eventually he does get out. I say he gets out. He's gassed once again, and a hypnotist comes into the room and says that he's going to wake up in an endless field of green.
Yeah.
And we get this really cool shot. It's a really cool transition of him kind of, like, daydreaming and dozing. And the camera tracks to the right, and there's, like, grass. And then all of a sudden, we've got this top-down perspective in a pretty, I'm not going to say it's a seamless cut, but it's a pretty good cut.
Mm-hmm.
Showing this trunk, and this trunk is wobbling, and it looks like it's just in a field. And the trunk pops open, and Odeso is in it.
Yeah, he's free.
He's free. but this grass is on the roof of a building in the middle of Seoul.
Yeah, Seoul, right?
Seoul. And that's where he sees the guy who's holding the dog, who is about to throw himself off the bridge, or off the building, bringing us back to the beginning.
I love that this is like the very start of the film, and they pitched it at the start as, I'm going to tell you my whole story, and that's how we'll do the film. But actually, they're going, we've told it now, we can get on with it.
Yeah. And so as soon as they're talking to each other, the guy who's going to jump in a day, so, and the guy's like, wow, that's an amazing story. Here's what happened to me. And Odessa just walks off.
Yeah, he does not care for the man in this story.
Well, I think the reason that he's like this is because he's like so depraved of human interaction that he's almost missing the cue.
Yeah, could be.
So
I think that the next time we see the man kind of speaks against that, though.
It does, because Odessa is down on the ground floor walking away from the building and the man has jumped. And he
hits a car. The car basically explodes.
Yeah.
Shatters glass everywhere. And Odessa stops, like, oh, that startled me. But then he carries on. He doesn't even look back.
Yeah. He goes to... Oh, does he go for the fight with the teenagers, or does he go to the seafood place first?
I can't remember. Let's say the seafood place.
Sure. So...
Oh, no. It's the fight with the teenagers, because he someone ends up giving him a phone and a wallet.
Yes.
And then he goes to the seafood place.
Yes. So he ends up getting to this fight with these teenagers, and he has this really cool moment. It's only a little thing where the teenagers, they call him a dickshit, I think it is. And he's like, a new swear word. The TV doesn't teach you that. And I just thought that was a really cool little thing to be like, yeah, I guess it wouldn't teach you that.
Yeah, I really like the monologue style of a lot of the way that Odessa works. And it really speaks to him being locked away for a very long time and not seeing the point in communicating with others.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very cool.
So he gets into this fight. Someone gives him a phone and a wallet, and he ends up going to this seafood place where he recognizes the chef from being on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And the phone rings, and the music that's playing as the ringtone is the same music that would play when the gas would come into the room when he was imprisoned. And this guy, and this faceless voice is just torturing him over the phone, just mocking him, essentially. Being like, do you like your new clothes? You know, all sorts of stuff. The chef then asks him what he wants for food. He says, an octopus. And... he serves this octopus, puts this octopus on a plate, and she goes, do you want me to kill this thing for you, or do you want me to cut it for you? And he eats a live octopus.
He does. The actor, can't remember his name, actually did that.
Yeah.
And it took, it's either 7 or 17 takes.
Yeah.
And he ate a live octopus in each of the takes.
Mm-hmm. It's a brutal scene.
It is, but he passes out just before the end. And the shot above him, where his head is on the table, he's still got the tentacle out of his mouth. And you can see this tentacle still, like, writhing around. It's vile.
So, I don't necessarily want to talk beat for beat on this thing, but I think the problem is everything's important. Yeah. So, we then wake up at... Odessa wakes up at the chef's apartment. And... she's like, oh, you know, I brought you here, you look like you need somewhere to go, that sort of thing. There is a pretty close sexual assault scene.
Mm-hmm.
Odessa does try and sexually assault the chef while she's on the toilet, and he clearly feels shame for what he does.
Yeah.
And she almost is like a bit of an apologist for it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a cultural thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, that bit really caught me off guard.
It's really unusual. Like, I understand why they put it in the movie, mm-hmm. but it's very out of left field for what's supposed to be the hero of the story.
Yeah.
So what happens after that then? They end up going around these.
Well, they decide that he can find out roughly where he was captured by, because he was fed these dumplings every day, the same thing, they go and they basically end up tasting the dumplings from every place that they can until he recognizes the taste and says, well, I must have been close to this one because this is the one I was fed every day.
So he ends up, so they find the place and they see that a delivery guy is going out to do a delivery for like a large order of dumplings, but just dumplings. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I'm going to follow that guy. And Odeso is booking it after this guy on this moped. Like, he is really going for it. And when the guy gets to the building where he was captured in, Odeso catches up to him maybe like a few seconds later and he is absolutely winded.
Yeah, as you would be if you chased and kept up with a man driving a moped.
Yeah. After this, we see a guy in a security office with cameras in all of the apartments. And he's like brokering stocks or something at the time, just to keep him occupied while he's looking at these screens. And Odeso finds him, and we wind up watching a really like involved and brutal torture scene where Odeso has taped this guy down to an office chair and he is ripping out the guy's teeth with the claw end of a hammer.
This is the bit that stuck with me from the first time I watched it. It's this and something that happens later are the two points in this film. Just the fucking hell.
It's such like it's a film that really imprints this image on you.
Mm-hmm.
But through this torture, they get the name of
He basically fights through the thing, but he's fought through. It's another one of those memorable scenes. It's that one shot fight scene in the corridor where beats up loads of guards, and once again they did 8 takes of that and it took 3 days to get right.
Well, it's one of the most memorable and out there fight scenes in any movie.
Yeah, it's great. It's really good. I'm lost now. So we're at the bit where the guy who has imprisoned him has said, if you tell me who I am, if you tell me how I know you and who I am, I'll kill myself.
Oh, right, yes. So because Odeso was like stabbed in the back during this fight scene, he collapses as he's leaving the building. Mm-hmm. And what looks like a stranger comes along and helps him into a taxi, but he gives this taxi driver the exact address of where Odeso is staying. And he's just like, oh, well, it's good to see you, Odeso. As he drives off, and obviously that's unusual. So back in the apartment, one of them gets a message on like an instant messaging chat. The woman chef that she's there gets a message showing a picture of Odeso and her in the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And from this, they're able to work out that the photo was taken from the building across from them. So he runs over to this building. And he finds the guy who helped him into the taxi, basically sat there mocking him, being like, you need to find why this is happening. You know, he's given, like, there's a face to the mystery now.
Yeah.
And Odeso is planning on killing him, but if he does that, then he can't get the answers to why he was imprisoned. And this guy essentially gives Odeso a bit of leverage for himself, saying, hey, if you try anything out of what I tell you to do, I have a remote control for my pacemaker and I will kill myself so you can never know why you're in prison. Yeah. Because I think
that was it. That made much more sense than what I said.
Well, the good thing with this is that it's not about Odeso killing the guy. It's about understanding why he was imprisoned in the first place. That's what the focus of the movie is. So they end up going back to the apartment and they're The problem is that the girl has been tied up in her apartment at this point.
By the guy who Odeso removed the teeth.
Yeah. And it's pretty clear there's been another sexual assault in the apartment.
Yeah.
It's very heavily implied. And as Odeso's going in there to rescue her, like he ends up getting outnumbered and having the shit kicked out of him, and he's about to have his teeth removed with a hammer. When the guy...
That eye for an eye thing rears its head again.
Yeah. But the guy who is about to remove the teeth gets a phone call, presumably from the guy with the pacemaker.
Yeah.
And he's offered a super large sum of money that's left in a briefcase outside the front door to not touch them further. And Odessa makes the comment as they're leaving, as the thugs are leaving, saying that he'll take the hand that touched her breast.
Yeah.
They end up driving to a motel or a hotel or something because they want to get away.
Yeah. The apartment's not safe anymore.
Exactly. So they end up driving to this motel or hotel, and the chef and Odessa end up having sex.
Yeah.
They wake up the next morning.
In one of the most uncomfortable sex scenes I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, but I don't think Odessa really knows what he's doing anymore.
No, but it's not uncomfortable because of that. It's uncomfortable because it's very graphic.
Yeah, it's very involved.
Yeah.
So they wake up the next morning and find this purple box with a bow on it sat in the room that they're in. And they open it, and it's the hand of the guy who touched her breast. So they work out that they have been bugged.
Mm-hmm.
So they end up going to like the shopping center, and they end up getting the bug removed. We completely forgot to mention the guy who was helping Odessa at the very start of the movie in the payphone runs an internet cafe now. And so they end up incorporating his help to try and track down any, like, you know, to connect some dots, you know, because Odessa doesn't know how to use the internet. He's been in a room for 15 years. They end up pinning down this, I think the bug has like got a mark on it that says like evergreen something or other. And they end up working out that the school that Odessa went to was a school called Evergreen All Boys School.
Yeah.
Or Evergreen School for Boys or something like that. And there's this really cool flashback sequence that they do, and I've never seen a film do this before, where they get the actors to actually, you know, play the younger versions of the main characters. But then they also have the characters there to show that they're like retracing the steps.
Yeah.
Very clever.
It's clever.
And what's happened here is that essentially they've worked out that Odessa was a bit of a blabbermouth at school, and he talked too much. That's a sentence that keeps coming up, is that he talks too much.
Yeah.
And he tries to flirt with this girl called Lee Woo Jin.
You are so good with the names, I just forget them.
So he tries to flirt with this girl called Lee Woo Jin, and it doesn't go anywhere, really. Nope. And so he ends up talking to this local hairdresser that the internet cafe guy knows, who went to a neighboring school. And they were like, oh yeah, we knew Lee Woo Jin, she killed herself, is the thing. And so we go back to another flashback, and what's happened is that the guy who has done the torturing, I'm just going to call him the pacemaker man, is the brother of Lee Woo Jin. And
who killed herself, yeah.
Who killed herself. And he is doing some photography with her, and what starts out as like really playful, lighter-hearted humor clearly, like, very quickly becomes something more sexual.
And incestuous, he ends up, yeah.
Yeah, quite an incestuous thing. And he ends up having sex with her, and Odessa tells the IT guy, the guy in the internet cafe, when they're at school, but says, if you tell anyone, I'll kill you for it. You know, to be like, you know, as I say, hey, don't tell anyone. But sure enough, a rumor gets around the school.
Yeah.
And she ends up basically throwing herself off a dam.
Yeah.
And as a result, we now have our why the person has been in prison. Essentially, the pacemaker guy is blaming Odessa for that getting out.
For the death of his sister. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is where it gets dark.
Yeah. So they end up, I don't remember how they track down a specific Bible verse of all things. I think it might have been like a reference in like a package or something like that. But he ends up connecting it to this one building, which he finds has a penthouse. And He stood in the lift and he's trying to work out he presses the penthouse button and the lift prompts him to enter a password. And he's trying to work it out, but these two guys just get in the lift and just press the button and they go, he's up to the penthouse again. It's like a bit of a, oh, okay, why didn't I think of that?
Well, it's more of a, this is inevitable.
Mm.
We are very aware that this is going to end in death, so we're just going to put it upstairs for you.
Yeah. So they go up to the penthouse. And this is where a lot of the twists in the movie all seem to start happening at once. So
yeah, so if you've listened this far and you still haven't watched, skip it.
Skip. What it turns out has happened is that the pacemaker guy has been orchestrating basically everything from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously from the capture, but the use of the phone, the meeting of the chef, the guy in the internet cafe, how pacemaker guy is actually in there and kills the internet guy because essentially they're talking to the internet guy on the phone and he says, what was Li Wujin like? And she goes, oh, he was a total whore, like she was a total slut. And something inside the pacemaker guy breaks at that point. He's very calm and composed a lot of the time, but here he breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And ends up taking a CD out of one of the computers, snapping it and cutting the internet guy's throat with it.
Yeah.
You know, in a super brutal improvised weapon scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only time we ever really see him break this composure.
Yeah.
So it's clearly a very sensitive point for him. So going back to the orchestra thing, this obviously means that the pacemaker guy has he's been pulling the strings everywhere, including for the framing of Odeso's wife. And we know he has a daughter, but we don't know where the daughter is. And mm-hmm. It turns out that the chef is his daughter.
The chef that he had sex with.
Yes. And the chef that he is now in love with.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a box that contains, is it footage of them having sex?
It's basically a photo album of his wife and his daughter. And he flicks through it. And as they flick through it, the daughter is getting older and older and obviously becomes the chef.
That's when it's
And then
click.
The next, that's when there's a wicked scene shot there where he flicks it and it's obvious who the chef is. And you can see his face in the reaction and the emotion in his eyes of, oh my God, what the hell have I done?
Mm. But
and then there's a photo of them
together. But then there's it goes back to the chef who is in the motel room, but the guy with the removed teeth is there. Yeah. He's now missing a hand, of course, like we mentioned before, but there is also a box in there and she's on the phone with Odeso and he is pleading for her to not open the box, like saying something bad's going to happen, just whatever you do, don't open the box, and she eventually decides to not open it.
Yeah. Well, that would be the evidence, so she knew the same as Odeso.
Exactly. And he ends up begging the pacemaker guy, Odeso ends up begging the pacemaker guy to not do anything further to hurt his daughter, because this is already beyond warped.
Yeah.
And the pacemaker guy throws Odeso the remote and is like, I've done everything that I wanted to here. I want you to know what I had and lost.
Mm-hmm.
And Odeso, in almost final act of desperation, tries to push the button to stop the pacemaker. But it turns out it's the remote control for a CD player that's playing the sound of the chef and Odeso having sex.
It's mental.
It's such a fucking 5D chess move.
The thing I think is really crazy on top of that is the pacemaker man is just like, I'm done now. And he walks out and gets in the lift. And as he goes down the floors, he promised that if he worked out who he was, he'd kill himself. So he pulls out a gun and shoots himself in the head there and then. Yeah. And goes through with his promise.
Oh, we also should mention that there is a very in-depth scene of Odeso cutting out his tongue when he promises not to talk anymore.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, He ends up meeting up with this hypnotist to try and erase his memory of what he's done. Yeah. And does he end up back in the room at the end?
I can't remember if they're outside or in the room, but
no, he doesn't. They're in the snow in the woods.
Yeah.
And the girl finds him, obviously not knowing who he is, and Odeso, not knowing who she is now, following the hypnotism, and following the removal of the tongue, can't talk to her, but she's almost still latch onto him as a girlfriend, but neither of them are in any of the ways that they are actually blood related.
Well, you say that, but it ends with her hugging him and then he cries uncontrollably. And I think there's a realization there.
Mm.
I know what you are to me and I can't do anything about it.
Yeah. But that's old boy in a very long nutshell.
It was a long nutshell, but like you said, everything in this movie is intentional.
Yeah,
I was not kidding when I said it's one of the best films I've ever seen. If you like revenge films and you like action, there is nothing better than Old Boy.
It's exceptional. Like, I know we talked about Parasite at the end of last season as one of my favorite pieces of Asian cinema. This is also up there for me.
Yeah, I actually think it's probably on a level.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. What would you give it out of 10?
10.
10? Yeah, 10.
And once again, I'm sorry, I said about 15 minutes ago, skip 5 minutes to get to the end of the film section, but, you know, it needed justice doing to it.
Absolutely, it did.
So, Tim, we are at the end of our week. We have a couple of things that we didn't say, but we will cover next time. Really quickly before we go, I'm going to drink this. Tim, can you say what this is?
So this is something that we missed off from the Asian food section last week. I got Joey a can of a drink that I really like called Pakari Sweat.
Sounds disgusting.
It's beautiful. Joey's about to sip it now.
It's okay.
So it's a grapefruit drink.
I'm all right with it. I expected fizzy, to be honest.
No, it's still. It's just really nice. Just a nice citrusy drink.
It's quite refreshing.
Yeah.
And then finally, Tim, before we go, we have this
pub quiz question of the week. Not a jingle, that's a sound effect at best.
What we have there is a fucking jingle, Tim. So, Tim, after the jingle, what was the pub quiz question and what is the answer?
The pub quiz question was, saying the name of what dried fruit used to be the phrase to encourage people to smile before a photo in the 1800s, before the phrase cheese. Any other guesses?
Lychees.
It's not lychees.
No. Raisin?
No.
Sultana?
No.
We could do this all day. Dried banana slices?
No.
Some other dried fruit that is escaping my mind.
Prunes.
Well, that wouldn't work. You'd be making,
that's what they used to say.
Is that why everyone looked like dickheads in old photos?
Why everyone was pogging in old photos.
Yeah, I like it.
So before we started the recording, by the way, you said you look like, oh wait, I'll tell you in the recording.
Oh, you look like Brit from Flight of the Conchords.
From Flight of the Conchords. I've got a beard back. My hair's looking good. I'm in a flannel shirt.
Yeah, it's Brit from New Zealand.
Fuck yourself, Brit.
Go fuck yourself, Brit. Maybe
you
did.
So angry I could swear.
You maybe did.
You wouldn't do that, Murray.
You wouldn't do that, Murray. Go fuck yourself. So, Brit, anyone you'd like to give a shout out to?
Oh, we've already done my Discord shout of the week, so I am going to go with someone from the Podpack Collective.
Well, shout out to the whole Podpack Collective. You are lovely people.
They are. They are lovely, lovely, lovely people. I'm going to go with This Isn't Life, the podcast.
Lovely. That is great. And I'd like to shout out Seismic Cinema and the usual Talking Smack and Casting Views. Fantastic. Tim, anything you'd like to say to the audience before we go?
You bastards.
I'm going to fucking hate editing my terrible New Zealand accent, but take that, you bastards, and we'll see you in a week's time.
Bye.
Bye.